Now turn for our scripture reading to the Old Testament, first of all, to the book of Psalms and the Psalm 65. Psalm 65, this is God's holy word. Let us hear his word together. To the chief musician, the psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. But as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, when thou hast provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. We now turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, and the chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. And we commence our reading at the verse 32. And read through to the verse 43. Again, this is God's holy word. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Of man. Then Jesus saith unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. They should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Amen. This is God's holy word. And may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his precious and holy word here this evening, all to glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Let us seek the Lord together now in prayer. Well, dear congregation, I invite you now to turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you and you were hearing earlier in the first reading, the Psalm 65. The Psalm 65. And I wish to draw your attention to the verse 4 of Psalm 65. And with the Lord's help, I want to speak on the subject which we are confronted with here in the verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. We see many things in this particular verse. We see, indeed, the depravity of the human heart. No man wants to approach God by nature. The Bible tells us, none seeketh after God, no, not one. Let me repeat that. There are none that seeketh after God, no, not one. The natural man is not happy with the things of God's house and with the things of God. They are repugnant to his heart. As man fell into sin, Adam and Eve, he began to run away from God. And it has been ever since the fall. Man comes into this world running away from God. And if we find ourselves believing here this evening, the word says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. The psalmist here, David, is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the things concerning God's salvation. Blessed is the man whom thou, O Lord, should choose and cause to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. And here he's speaking as a fellow believer, that we should be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. There are many people in all different kinds of churches gathered this evening, but they're not there to hear the word of God. They are not satisfied with the preaching of the word of God. They want the things of this world. They want entertainments. They want the things of prosperity. They want worldly happiness, not spiritual happiness, not true life that comes through and by God, through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this evening, as we come to this gospel service, one of the most astounding things in all of the world, and we find it in the Word of God, is that man does not seek after the living God. You hear what I'm saying? And I know this was my experience for many a year. I may have called upon God in time of difficulty and trouble and trial, but I never sought God for salvation until he sought me. That has been the experience and is the experience. And if you deny that, you deny the word of God and you claim God to be a liar. But God is not a liar. God's word tells us in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none. Mark it down. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And so our text this evening, I hope, will come as an encouragement rather than a word of dismay to maybe some here tonight. Thank God for His sovereignty in salvation. Because if God were not sovereign in salvation, let me tell you, not one soul would be saved here tonight. Not one single soul would be believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ were it not of God's merciful salvation and sovereign grace in salvation. None would seek after the living God. So depraved is the human heart that it will not seek the Almighty. Man's heart, if you were to read the Word of God, study it, Romans 8, 7, the carnal mind, the natural mind, is enmity with God. It is a clenched fist in the face of His Creator that he will not seek God. As I say, we come into this world estranged from God. We are shapen, as David says in the Psalm, shapen in iniquity. We come into this world as rebels, as haters of God, despisers of God. And blessed is the man whom the Lord should so choose and so work in a man's heart. Notice that he should approach unto God. It is an amazing thing. It is nothing but a miracle that a human soul should approach unto God. And I mean in a true saving way to approach unto God. In Romans chapter 4 and the verse 8, the Apostle Paul, from the beginning of Romans, he begins to open up the gospel and what it is, that there is a righteousness that God will provide to all whom he changes the heart to approach unto him. That blessed is that man, Romans 4, 8, whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why will the Lord not impute sin? Well, if you notice, even here in the verse 3, iniquities, you know what that word means. Iniquity means sin. It means missing the mark. And we've all missed the mark. Iniquities prevail against me. David is speaking of himself. As for our transgressions, that is the transgressions of God's people, all who believe upon him, thou shalt purge them away. Literally to wash them away, to cleanse them. And that is what Jesus Christ did. And this is the way that sinners will approach unto God through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. David was given a prophetic eye, an understanding of what God would do eventually in time, that God would purge away the sins of all who truly approach unto him for salvation. Isn't that wonderful? That he would have a people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, not only the Jews, but many believing Gentiles. In Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gives the showcase of God's grace in two persons. One of them, David. David, his sins were not imputed to him. David was a man who committed murder, who committed adultery, who did many sinful things. But David had that blessed assurance that God would purge away his sins. Now, it is not a natural thing for the human heart to approach God. It is a very natural thing for the human heart to approach God for everything else but salvation, but not for salvation. The human heart says, God, look at me. Look at my church going. Look at my life. Accept me for who I am. But no. God is holy. My friend, as we come to God's word tonight, have we understood who God is? That's the first and most important thing as you and I come here tonight. He is utterly different to you and to me. The Bible says, God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God is holy. We read in 1 John 1:5, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Do we realize that as we come here tonight, that God dwells in that unapproachable light, and we are as hell-deserving sinners. And we in and of ourselves cannot be accepted. And if we have any inclination to draw near to God here this night in true repentance, it is all of God's grace. God, in the covenant promise of his oath, he promised to give his dear son to save a people by him, a covenant for the people he would give, and give his son. You know Psalm 2. If you're here this evening and you don't know the Psalms, let me say this. If you're an unbeliever, don't be put off by the Old Testament. The Psalms are full of God's declarative will concerning salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that it never ceases to amaze me. Every day I pray for this world, and particularly for the Jews. And we know the Lord has certain people amongst the Jews that he will save. He will save a people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. But doesn't it amaze you how, particularly if you're a Christian here tonight, and you understand that the Jew has the full, complete Old Testament, and these things in the Old Testament speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even here in this Psalm 65, that God would purge away sins, that salvation is not somehow by Paul, as he exclaims and shows how the Jew was seeking to earn and to establish a righteousness before God on the basis of keeping the law. But this is the way in which God would save sinners, by not imputing to them, by not reckoning to them their own sin, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sins of his people would be laid upon him. Now the problem with the human heart is, that is not acceptable. Because the human heart says, I am clean before God. It is an insult to man to say that he is unclean, that he is unacceptable. The people of Hemel Hempstead are continually telling me that they are all right. And I know even people, as I talk to them sometimes at the door of the church, and they tell me they're all right. And I ask them their condition of their souls, and they say, I'm all right. But you know it's not all right with them. The hearts are far from God. You're proud in your sin. But blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Thank the Lord that he does choose sinners. What are they? How do they feel? Well, they feel terrible about themselves. They know themselves to be like David, murderers. They've hated people. They've lied. They've committed adultery in their own hearts. They've had lustful thoughts. They know their own hearts condemn them every day. They know that they are unclean before God. Those are the people that approach God on the basis of his mercy that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, They are the people that are satisfied with the things of God's house. In God's house, we learn of God's dear Son. That's what we learn of. And we find our wisdom and our help for life in the Lord Jesus. He is the chief of this house. He is the head of God's house. And they find in the Lord Jesus Christ everything. They shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. God has a holy temple. The Bible tells us that his temple are his people. He comes to live in their hearts. Now, through even the psalm is quoted in Romans chapter 4, we're reminded that it's all of God's grace. The salvation that he has given in his dear Son. We sometimes sing, God in the gospel of his Son makes his eternal counsels known, where love in all its glory shines and truth is drawn in fairest lines. Here, sinners of a humble frame, may taste his grace and learn his name, and may read in characters of blood the wisdom, power, and grace of God. Blessed is the man, blessed of God, truly happy, whom the Lord chooses. Now, it is very clear from the Bible that God does have his elect people. Because if he didn't have his elect people, nobody would ever be saved. Thank the Lord for that. And if we find ourselves here believing this evening, we have great reason to rejoice. Maybe you can reflect even in your own heart how once in your life you hated the things of God, how you despised even the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you even took the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a swear word to your own lips. But now you find yourself believing. That is an amazing thing that we should ever believe. Because the natural mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God's law. You know, the Jews today, as I say, if you were to go to the average Jew's home, they think that they are righteous. Paul says, are the Gentiles any better? No, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. But you go to a Gentile's home, you go to somebody's home here in Hemel Hempstead, and they think they're quite good people, don't they? The people all around us. But God's word says, none are righteous. None are righteous, no, not one. And you know, people are so offended by the Bible. The Bible is offensive because it is confrontive to man. Because, you see, the word of God says in Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. When a man looks at his life, God says, a man looks at his life and a man says, my ways are clean. But then the word of God goes on to say, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You know, so much of our thoughts, many people don't know, do they? They sometimes know our thoughts when we express them in words. But friends, if the imaginations of our hearts were to be put out on a great screen for all the world to see, I tell you, we'd run and we'd hide under 1,000 feet of earth, wouldn't we? We'd be so ashamed. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. But blessed is the man whom the Lord cause us to approach unto thee. Imagine that. Unholy creatures such as you and I should approach the most high and holy eternal God. How can it be? Well, it can be. Because if you notice the verse 3 there, God has promised to purge away the sins of all that approach unto him. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend. This psalm is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that is through him. There's a lot of what we would call anthropomorphic language here, which we don't have time to look at this evening. But it speaks of a barren place being made lush and glorious. And this is what God does in the life of all of those who come to know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings them newness of life. There's not only forgiveness of sins, but friends, there's newness of life. And there is abundant fruit now to God. If you were to read Romans chapter 7, we read that we died to the law because Christ, who died for his people, took away all the handwriting that was against them, that we should live now to another. And who is that? Paul tells us, even Jesus Christ, that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Blessed is the man who the Lord causes to approach unto him, because the Lord not only forgives them, but gives them newness and abundance of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is all their happiness. He is all their joy. He is all their delight. And they love to be in his house. And they are satisfied with the things of God's house. You know, they'll not go into a church that looks like a discotheque and not listen to rapper, so-called gospel rapper preachers. My friend, there's no such thing as a gospel rapper preacher. They are men of the synagogue of Satan. We do not mix the unholy with the holy. God's word is pure. And God's people love purity and light and truth, and they hate sin now. That man is blessed who is happy with the things of God's word and his house. They have forgiveness of sins now. And they're not offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. You know, many people will believe the gospel. I read there from John, if you just turn with me now to John chapter 12, where I read from earlier. And please do not be deceived. I sadly hear many Christians who seem to think that because whenever the Bible says many believed on him, that those people were actually saved. They were not. Many times many were not saved. Simply believing upon Christ does not make you a saved person. And many times the Bible does say they believed on him and they were saved. But you need to be a lot more discerning than that. In there, the verse, as we read right at the end of that section that I read, John chapter 12, if you just turn there with me, and I think it's the verse 42. Notice how these people, many heard of the great miracles and heard of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. You notice, I'm going to read from verse 40. Actually, we'll back up to verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Isaiah, or Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, they believed, they understood the things of Jesus Christ, but they loved the praise of men more than they loved God. And are you prepared to tell me that those people are saved people? They're not saved people. They're not saved people. The Lord is ashamed of them and will be ashamed of them who are ashamed of Him in this life. There are many who profess a knowledge of God, but often when the rubber hits the road and it comes between a choice of being accepted before men and God, many people will choose men. They love the praise more of men than of God. Now I want to ask you, in your own life, you say you're a Christian, or you say you're believing, you have come to hear the word of God and you've come to trust now. There comes a crossroad in your life. It's either God or man. The natural heart says, I choose man and I choose the world. But remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, if man will not deny himself, he cannot be my disciple. Are you prepared to lose all for Christ? Well, those are God's people. They're not ashamed of him. And they will own him before men. And they will confess him before men. Because that is the heart that God produces in a soul. That is the different kind of a life. There are many that just play at religion. There are many that just play at the things of God, and they imagine that they are God's people. But they choose the things of this world. And let me say this, it's a wonderful thing. When God gives a heart that is made for Him, made to adore Him, and puts Him first in their lives, and they are satisfied with the things of God, and they could care less what the world think and what the world say. My friend, I want to ask you, do you really have true saving faith? Are you somebody that loves God? It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that God should cause a man to approach him. But you know, that soul is satisfied in God and satisfied with the things of God's house. And they will not follow another. They will come to the house of God here and they'll hear the word of God and they'll say, this is truth and this is life. And I could care less what the world thinks. And I'll be done away with false religion. You know, the Lord Jesus said, many, many will say, not a few, many will say, we did this and we did that. We went to church. We did this in your name. We prayed even in your name. But he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You were ashamed of me in this life. You believed upon me, but you wouldn't confess me before men. Like the religious leaders of those days. And there are many today, friend. God would have a people whose heart is for them, for Him, and for His glory. You see, to be a Christian is to be forgiven. And to be forgiven is everything to you. Because you know, to not be forgiven is to go to hell, my friend. And the Lord Jesus paid an infinite wrath for all of His people. And they are prepared to give Him their lives. And if all they could give Him more, they would. Are you such a man, such a woman tonight? All thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now there is a sense in which that word tells us that one day every flesh will come before Almighty God. And one day every knee will bow. But there are truly those that pray to Him, and those that pray to Him in sincerity, as the verse 3 follows on, must know that the Lord forgives such people. Because they come in sincerity, or they don't have perfect hearts, they've sinned against God, and they pray, Lord, forgive us our debts, forgive us of our sins. That's the true heart, isn't it? Not like the prayer of the Pharisee, I thank God I'm not like other people. Well, there are so many in churches that are proud, self-righteous. But the Lord's people truly pray. And they know that forgiveness that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, it is an amazing thing that God should ever cause anybody to draw near to Him. That, because the human race is against God. I mean, just look at society. Look at the world. Everything and everybody seems to be against God these days. You know, when there's trouble in the world, God is blamed for everything, isn't He? You won't find an atheist when there's trouble in the world. But when all is well, there's no God. But there is a God. And there is a God who's coming to judge sin and the world in righteousness by His dear Son. We see God's election here. Blessed is the man who thou choosest. My friend, God has to choose. And if He has chosen you, you're not ashamed of Him. And you will own Him in this world. And you will confess Him before men. And blessed be God. It tells us that He may dwell in thy courts. And here's the blessed thing. You know, when God saves a soul, God is forever with that person. In this life, you're never alone again. How do you know whether you're saved? Is God with you, friend? In your thoughts? Let me ask you tonight, is God in your thoughts? Is God with you when you begin the day? Let me ask you, how do you begin your day? I'm amazed at those people who say that they are Christians, but never read the Word of God, or very hardly. Or they'll have to have somebody to tell them, come on, let's read the Word of God together. When was the last time you read the Word of God together? Is God in your thoughts? Is God in your prayers? When you pick up some food to eat, do you actually give thanks to God? Do you give thanks to God for your health, your life, your strength, all things that God gives you? These things are the gift of God. Do you thank God? Do you thank God for sickness and in health, knowing that even in your sickness and even in your health, God will work this all for His glory and for our good? Do you believe that? Do you believe in a sovereign God, my friend, who gives life and all things freely to enjoy? And do you believe that God sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life? Well, if you believe that, you'll live a different life, my friend. That man is blessed because God is his God. Today is God's day, isn't it? God gives one day in seven for us to honor him. But what have we done with today? Morning and evening. The whole day is the Lord's day. Do we make every effort to come and to hear God's word and to praise Him? When you think of the vast amount of people in this world that are lost in all kinds of pagan religions and belong to darkness, and people worshipping statues and sticks and images, what fools men have made of themselves. I mean, do you not laugh? And I don't mean this facetiously or unkindly. But are you not forced to put your hand over your mouth and to stop laughing when you see the folly of the religions of this world? Well, why do men do this? Read Romans chapter 1. Because men have made gods for themselves, because they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. But God, in the mystery of His grace, has been pleased to show His truth to many. But even sadly, as we read there in John 12, many believed, but they wouldn't confess the Lord Jesus because they loved the praise of men more than of God. Well, do men not deserve to go to hell? Let me ask you this. Did we not once know even the truth of God's word? And there maybe was a time in our lives when we wouldn't confess God. Were we not deserving of God's wrath and judgment? Let me tell you, we all here tonight deserve God's everlasting fire and damnation. Every one of us. Adults, little children, everyone, we are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But blessed is the man who the Lord, notice, chooses to approach unto thee, O God. Thank God if you're saved. And my friend, if you have a little knowledge of the truth here tonight, do not give your soul any rest until you approach God. And don't say, oh, Lord, it's you that's going to change the heart. I believe that's true. God does change the heart. But if the truth has come to you, the truth will affect you. Will it not? Or else, I've got to say, friend, you are a self-deceived sinner. May God have mercy upon your soul tonight. May God work that repentance in your soul. Maybe you have sat here under my ministry for years. You know, you resist the word of God. Stephen said to the religious hypocrites, he said, ye always resist the Spirit. It's not resisting the drawing of the Spirit, but the Spirit has given the word. And you continue to resist it. Why? Because you're a sinner. Repent and seek the Lord. And you know, my Bible tells us that those who truly repent never seek God in vain. So seek Him tonight. He is a gracious God. And all who come to Him will find their sins purged in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a merciful God. What a gracious God. Seek Him, friend. He is a God not to be trifled with, but He is a God that truly blesses. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. Are you satisfied here, friend? In God's house? Well, if you are, you will find your joy and your delight under God's blessed word. May the God of all comfort draw near to sinners tonight. We know we deserve God's wrath, but friend, let us seek the Lord and find that forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man who the Lord will not impute iniquity. Help us, O God. Psalm 79, verse 9. O God of our salvation, for the glory of Thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for Thy name's sake. My friend, God is owing to nobody in this world. You are a debtor to God. Seek Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him through the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If you are to be saved, it is only through God's righteous, dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Him, you will be damned. Seek Him now with all your heart. Amen.